Good evening. All right, y'all ready? Okay, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to pray tonight. We're going to begin reading at verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Ready? Okay, let's read. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. Matthew 13. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be praying about hearing ears, seeing eyes, and understanding hearts. Amen. Amen. Matthew 13, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 13, verses 16 and 17. Ready? Let's read. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. And we're going to pray concerning hearing ears, seeing eyes, and understanding hearts. Amen. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you all the honor, all the glory, all the praise, all the blessing, all the thanksgiving. We're so thankful, Lord God. So thankful, Father, for all that you're saying, for all that you're doing, Lord God, in this hour. Oh, Father God, we thank you for the man of God. Lord God, we're asking in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that we would have the ears to hear all that you're saying, eyes to see, Lord God, all that you're doing, Lord God. And Father, hearts that we might understand. Holy Spirit, we do acknowledge you, we do invite you, and we do welcome you. We ask you to help us right now. Help us to pray. In Jesus' name. Lord God. Online students, would you join us? Yes, Lord God. This new season, Lord. Alalala makashanda rabakaha. Alalala mahanda debe dede bokunda rabakaya yehia. Adanda rabodosonda rabakahaya. Alalala makashanda rabakahaya. This new dawning, Lord. Alalala mahashanda rabakahaya. Alalala mahashanda rabakaya yehia. Adadada danda debe de. Alalala makashanda rabakaya yehia, Lord God. Blessed are our eyes, Lord God, for they see. Alalala makashakanda rabakaya yehia, Lord God. Blessed are our ears, Lord, for they hear. Alalala mahaha. Alalala makashanda rabakaya. Yes, Lord God. Blessed are our hearts, Lord God. Glory to God But we do understand, Lord. Alalala mahashandarabakaya, you hear, Lord God, the things of the Spirit. Alalala mahashandarabakaya, you hear. We're looking to you, Holy Spirit. Alalala mahashandarabaki here. Help us. Alalala makashi here. Alalala makashakandarabakaya. Alalala mahandarabahire besandarabakaha. Oh, Rabababababakashakandarabakahaya. Alalala mahandarebedea. Alalala makashakandarabakahaya. Aye. Yes, Lord. Aye. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Alalala mahashahaha. Alalala makandaramanina mokosondarebede. Oh, my. He here. Erededebendarebede bokoshahaya. Aye, handarabakaha. Alalala mahahaha. Oh, Rabababakashakandarabakaha. Oh, Rabababakashakandarabakaha. Alalandarebedere, you see. Alalala makashandarabakaya, you hear. Now we believe we receive, Lord. Alalala makashandarabakaya. Alalala makashakandarabakaya, you hear. Yeah. Oh, Rabababakashakandarabakaha. Alalala mandarebedeya. Alalala makashakandarabakaya, you hear. Yes, Lord. Alalala bahaha. Alalala kashakandarabakaha. Alalala landarebederebokoshenderebedeya. Alalala makashandarabakaha. Baba banda rebe de rebe keshen de rebe dehe. Ere de rebe de rebe de rebe koshen de rebe de. Ala la la makashi here, Lord God. Ala la la makasha kanda de bakahaya. Ala la la kinda rebe de. Hallelujah. Ala la la bakasha haha. Ala la la bakasha de bakaha. Ande remi sende rebe de. Ala la la makasha de bakaya. Yes, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. You've given it, Lord God. You've given it to us, Lord, to know. Ala la la bahashinde. We're so thankful, Lord God. Alalala makashandarabakaya. We're so thankful, Lord God. Alalala mahashandarabakaya. Alalala mahalala kandaramahiri me sandarabakaya. We thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. Glory to God. We thank you. Hallelujah. We praise you. Glory, hallelujah, Lord God. Glory, hallelujah, Lord God. Hallelujah. We're not the same, Lord God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise, all the blessing, all the thanksgiving for it, Lord God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, 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 amen. Hallelujah. Well, when I began to realize we had so few classes left, and we have this book, this big book, it's like, okay, so where do we want to go from here? And you know, I'm just thinking about the second year students, because they won't have the privilege, first year students, the privilege of being back in this class next year. You know, so I was thinking about them, and you know, it's like, where are we gonna go? I did have a question about fasting. That was the only session I'm doing on fasting. Somebody asked about additional information. I think one of the books that Apostle mentioned on fasting was by an author by the name of Jansen Franklin. I think I have the book. I just couldn't find it for this class so that I could show it to anybody else who wanted to see it or who wanted additional information on fasting. Mine was just to introduce it, second year students, just to remind you about fasting and the importance of fasting. Amen. But, you know, for additional, their books, like I said, Jansen Franklin is one. I think the one I did find was by Townsend. I found that one, but I couldn't find the one by Mr. Franklin. Amen. So surprise, surprise, surprise. We are going to go to book 5. 5. Book 5. And we're not even starting with chapter 1 in book 5. We're going to book 5, chapter 12. Okay, online students, book 5, chapter 12. Now, the title for book 5 is, believe it or not, Obtaining Answers to Prayer. That's the title of the book. And then the chapter 12, it just says Lessons in Prayer. Now, what our author did here, he is talking a lot about the Apostle Paul. And, you know, he's sharing with us how important prayer was to Paul and all the writings that Paul did about prayer. And then we're going to be looking at a lot of those prayers. But you know that there are a lot of the prayers that we're all familiar with. You know, all of these, most of them in the epistle. Amen. Meaning Paul wrote most of that. Amen. So it's just entitled Lessons in Prayer. Now, I thought it should have been like among the first books. I mean, the way it's written. But they have it like towards the end of this compilation of the writings by Mr. Bounds. Okay. So I just titled Paul's Writings on Prayer. Go ahead, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We'll begin there. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 1 through 4. Okay, I need everyone to read 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Ready? Let's read. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Okay. Here, you know, Paul is writing to Timothy, a young man in the gospel. And what he's doing, he's training Timothy. Amen. And here he's talking about, you know, prayer and who you should pray for. Our author says that first, what I like about this chapter, because in this chapter he talks about prayer and the church. You know, it's not necessarily individual prayer or just prayer for yourself or getting answers for yourself. He's talking about prayer and the church. Amen? Okay. He says prayer was to be the greatest security and truth for the church. This is what Mr. Bounds says, chapter 12. First and foremost, the church of Christ was to be a praying church. That's what we were designed to pray, amen? The church was to pray, as you can see, for all men. You notice that? For all men. He says, for all in authority. And I talked about Philippians 4 and 6 and 7 last week. But in this one, okay, Paul writes in Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing. Y'all remember that? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, and supplication. Those are types of prayers. I want you to understand when he starts listing that, and the same thing over in 1 Timothy 2, you know, when he says prayer, supplications, intercessions, all those are different kinds or different types of prayer. Okay, Philippians 4 and 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The church is to be anxious about nothing. The church, you notice that? He's saying the church. He said every need and request must be made through prayer. Nothing is too small. Amen. Nothing is too small. Nothing is too great for God to overcome. God will answer and take care of the church's needs. Amen. Of the church's needs. You know, I mean, this thing, it really was, you know, it's like, oh, man, he's really talking about the church. Now, remember now, we are the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. We are members. But, you know, he's talking about the church. I say, oh, my, look at here. He said, God will answer and take care of the needs of the church. So if you are a part of the church, then automatically God will take care of your needs also. Amen. All right. Over in first, now these are a lot of scriptures that he's going to do in the beginning. He just cites a lot of the scriptures that Paul wrote, and then this one is for the Thessalonians, and it's over in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. And all of these are familiar. You've heard them before. Verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Mr. Bounds wrote, he says, pray without ceasing. Paul wrote a vital command to the church at Thessalonica. The church, in order to obtain answers, must devote itself to unceasing prayer. Unceasing prayer. Amen. This is God's will concerning his church on earth. Paul was not only devoted to prayer himself, but he continually and earnestly urged it in a way that showed its vital importance. Amen? Okay. He wasn't just, you know, concerned about prayer for himself, but he was concerned about the church at large. Over in Colossians 4 and 2, and I'll just read some of these out. You can follow along. Colossians 4 and 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. You notice in the themes, continuing in prayer. And I just made a little note. I said persistent praying, because a lot of times, I guess it's hard for me to fathom this. But, you know, there are people who hardly ever pray. You know, they may say Our Father prayer, but they hardly pray. And it's like, oh, my God, you know, and Mr. Bounds is going to talk about that. I mean, he had some harsh words for people who don't pray. Harsh. It's like, oh, my God. And then we're very familiar with Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Remember, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then 1 Timothy 2 and 8. All of these are just scriptures regarding prayer that we're going to be looking at tonight. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. And it says, I will therefore, this is Paul's writing now, again to Timothy, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now, I learned something about that word wrath. It's like, oh, my gosh, look at here. Paul was, and we're going to look at it a little bit later. Paul was an appointed leader and a leader by universal recognition and acceptance, meaning that everybody recognized him, everybody accepted him. Amen. After he got through that initial, you know, with him. he had many, you know, Mr. Bounds says, Paul had many mighty miracles occur in his ministry. He says, when you look at his conversion, how he was converted, remember on the road to the Damascus, it was so conspicuous and it was so radical He says, what a great miracle. Amen. That was a miracle. Then he says, his call to the apostleship was clear, luminous. You know, God told him, you know, this is what I want you to do. It was luminous, you know, enlightened and convincing. It says, Paul's course was more distinctly shaped and his career rendered more powerfully successful because of his prayerful communication with God. Paul was a prayer. Amen. He knew God would answer his prayers with guidance and provision. Because prayer was the highest exercise in Paul's personal life, prayer assumed the same highest place in his teaching. You know, personally, he was a prayer and it was important. And so when he began to teach and even write, it was a lot about prayer. Amen. His personal example of prayer and its answer added force to his teaching. His practice and his teaching ran on parallel lines. There was no inconsistency between the two parts of his life. I put in parentheses, he practiced what he preached, and he preached what he practiced. Amen? That was Paul. Paul was, now this is Mr. Bounds here. He says, Paul was the chief of the apostles and the chief in prayer. He was the foremost of the apostles because of his prayer life. He was qualified to be a teacher on prayer. His praying fitted him to teach others what prayer was and what prayer could do. For this reason, he was capable of urging the people to not neglect prayer, since so much depended upon it. Amen. He's talking about the church here. So much in the church depends upon prayer. Amen. And then he says, he who wants to teach others to receive answers to prayer must first himself be devoted to prayer. Amen. Amen. You know, I'll put a little note here. I remember we had a minister who said, you know, like when he heard about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and somebody said that they wanted to be filled, you know, he says, oh yeah, I'll pray for you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But then he wasn't filled. You know? You know? And I mean, you know, he could laugh about it a little bit later, you know, just a little bit later. Amen. So, but then, well, you know, he got filled. You know, he got filled. Amen. Preachers will encourage, listen to this. I'm telling you, Mr. Bounds is something. Let me see. He who urges prayer on others must first tread the path of prayer himself. You can't go around parents telling your children to our Father. You need to say our Father. Those kids need to see you and hear you praying. You know, that's one thing I can say, you know, in my day growing up, we heard elders pray. We heard them in prayer meeting. They didn't have prayer meeting often, but we heard them in prayer meeting. And at home, you know, they prayed. I can remember hearing my grandmother, you know, she was on her knees. Amen. You know, we going back to being on her knees praying. And your children, your grandchildren need to see and to hear you pray. Amen. Mr. Bound writes, he says, preachers will encourage the practice of praying in proportion to the quality of their own prayer lives. You hold on teachers, huh? I mean, preachers, you know. So you got a minister, I'm going to use the word minister, who doesn't pray, you know, a lot. Maybe just when he get ready to preach, you know, he pray. Well, you know, he's not going to be, teaching his people a whole lot about prayer. Now, here at Word of Life Christian Center, I told you I've been here for a few years. And ever since I came, this has been a praying church. You know, it's been everything here has just been saturated with prayer from the beginning and even now. It still continues. Amen. So he says, preachers will encourage the practice of praying in proportion to the quality of their own prayer lives. preaches. The quality of their sermons will also depend on the quality of their prayer lives. Isn't that that? It would be legitimate to conclude, therefore, that the reason there is so little preaching on how to receive answers to prayer today is because preachers themselves do not know how. Isn't that something? That is scary. That is scary. That is scary. Amen. But that's not going to be any of us. Amen. Not going to be anybody online either. So then I made a little note here. I said the necessity of prayer. Again, you know, we're talking about Paul's writing, Paul's teaching on prayer, lessons in prayer. That's the title of our chapter. If personal force, Mr. Bounds says, if the energy of a strong will, if profound convictions, if personal, he gave me a whole list, if personal culture and talents, if any one of these or all of them united could direct the church of God without prayer, then logically prayer would be unnecessary. If they could, you know, we would not need to pray. He says, if profound piety and unswerving consecration to a high purpose, if impassioned loyalty to Jesus Christ, if any or all of these could exist without devoted prayer or lift a church leader above the necessity of prayer, then Paul was above its use. Prayer brings God's response and direction. That's what we get from prayer. Paul felt the necessity of unceasing prayer. He realized that its practice was urgent and pressing, that the church should pray again without ceasing. Amen? Amen. Paul's praying, his commands, and the urgency with which he encouraged the church to pray are the most convincing proof of the absolute necessity. Amen? The necessity. Why is so necessary for us to pray? Prayer, Mr. Bounds says, is a great moral force in the world. Now let's stop and think about that. Prayer is a great moral force in the world. An indispensable and inalienable, meaning unchangeable, absolute, incontrovertible factor in the progress and spread of the gospel. Prayer is the means, and we know this, of communicating with God, asking his direction. It is also the key of the development of personal piety, meaning your goodness, your faithfulness, your holiness. In Paul's view, no church could succeed without answered prayer. Amen? Now, when I started reading this, prayer is a great moral force in the world. Now we can understand why the enemy was so insistent on taking it out of the schools. Amen? A moral force was taken out of the schools. And I don't know how many years it has been since they took prayer out of the school in the United States of America. And we are now seeing the results. Amen? I really and truly believe that. I just believe that. And not only in this country did we take him out of the schools, but now they're trying to take him out of, you know, prayer and God out of so many different places. And I mean, you know, when we read the Bible, we see what happened. You know, when I guess the children of Israel would forget God or turn away from God. Amen. There were always, and I use the word natural consequences. A lot of times they say, God did this, God did. This is the result of you taking God out. Amen. Then you're just left, I guess, as a prey. I like that word. Apostle used that word. As a prey, P-R-E-Y, as a prey for the enemy. Amen? Amen. Paul said, pray everywhere. Pray in everything. Pray without ceasing. That was his reply to the question regarding unanswered prayer. Paul was the leader of the great spiritual principles that were essential to the establishment and prosperity of the church. Amen. A leader of the great spiritual principles that were essential to the establishment and the prosperity of the church. Now, Mr. Bound goes, and y'all can read that, you know, when you read the chapter, but, you know, he talks a lot about his relationship with Timothy here and how, you know, he was teaching Timothy, and everything that he wrote, everything that he taught, you know, he said, I can count on Timothy. You know, Timothy is going to do what I'm teaching him to do. Amen? The way we are with apostles. Amen. Amen. Paul wrote directly. Now, this was good. Paul wrote directly under the supervision of the Holy Spirit, who guarded Paul against error and who suggested the truths that Paul taught. We believe, Mr. Bound says, without compromise in the least, in the absolute inspiration of the scriptures, and Paul's writings are part of those sacred writings. Amen? Amen? See, Paul wrote. The doctrine of prayer that Paul affirmed is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. You know, that's what the Holy Spirit taught him. Amen? So his doctrine of prayer, it didn't really come from him. It came from the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of prayer that Paul affirmed is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. His epistles are of the Word of God. They are inspired, authentic, and of divine authority. Prayer, as taught by Paul, is the doctrine that Almighty God would have the entire church to accept. He wants the whole church, the whole body to accept. Amen? Not only to accept it, but to believe it. Not only to believe it, but to practice it. Amen? Accept, believe, and practice. God does not want his church to be without his provision and his direction as given through prayer. Amen? When we look back, when we've read it already, 1 Timothy 2, well, he goes all the way to verse 6 here, you know, but I exhort therefore. He says we're receiving like instructions about prayer, about how men ought to pray in those verses. 1 Timothy 2, and he goes all the way down to verse 6. We read down to 4. Verse 5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. That's verses 5 and 6. Mr. Bound says, it's like how businessmen, you know, this is all about how businessmen should pray. And the reasons why men ought to pray, and it needs to be strongly and insistently emphasized. You know, you're talking about businessmen. You know, how many businessmen other than Word of Life Christian Center and LTMMA churches do you know that really pray? You know what I'm saying? You know, I think, I don't want to talk about our president, but our president was a very successful businessman. You know, that's what I've been told. I've been told he was a very, very successful businessman. And they thought that because he was such a successful businessman, he would be a successful president. I think that's what some people assume. But before he got connected with his vice president, you know, who I understand is a Christian, you know, how much do you think he prayed about his business endeavors, ventures, plans before he got with Mr. Pence? I mean, you know, but, you know, that's what Mr. Bounds, through Apostle Paul, is saying, that, you know, even businessmen need to be praying about their businesses. Amen? Paul illustrated the inheritance and practice of every Christian in all ages. He gave us a view of the energetic and the multifaceted characteristics of prayer. Now, I took a little issue with this until he explained a little bit later. Mr. Bounds says, prayer comes first. That's what he said. He said that. Okay, I think I know what he means. Y'all gonna know what he means. He said, it must be first in all occupations. So exacting and imperative in its significance and power is prayer that it stands first among spiritual values. Well, I beg to differ, but okay. Now, this is what I was telling y'all. He got a little radical here, Mr. Bounds. Y'all author, not me. The author of your book said, he that prays not is not at all. He that prays not is not at all. He says, he is nothing. Less than nothing. He is below zero. So far as Jesus Christ and God are concerned. The man or the woman who does not pray. I didn't say it. I'm just letting y'all know. This is what your author wrote, you know. I guess he's just emphasizing, you know, because Paul was so passionate about prayer and the importance of prayer, especially for the church. You know, the church of God, it's been here. It's been here a long time. Amen. And it's been praying men and women who've kept the church. You know what I'm saying? Who've been seeking God. Lord, what's your plan? Lord, what's your purpose? Lord, what you want to do right now? And what I'm seeing and what you're seeing, seeing eyes, remember, what you're seeing is that we're coming back. We're coming back to that place where we are becoming more concerned about what it is that God wants, what it is that God is saying right now. What do you want me to do? Amen? And that's been God's plan all along for the church. You know, just seek me, and I'll direct you, I'll instruct you, I'll correct you, I'll show you, you know. And I guess somewhere along the line, I guess we got too successful, you know. And we just thought, I mean, and we see it in the Bible. That's, you know, with the children of Israel. You know, God would bless them, and they would just go off and forget all about the things that God had done until trouble came. And then trouble came, and then they went back to God. And have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. And he's merciful, amen? He's compassionate. And he would just go ahead and he just forgive them, and he just bless them again. You know, he just go ahead on back and bless them. And they would do it for a while. And then it just go right on, just right on back. I mean, thank God that he's so long-suffering with us. So long suffering, but it's a new breed right now. God is raising up a new breed, and I like what Apostle says, going back to God's original plan, his original plan. Amen. The original plan. You know, he's nothing. He's less than zero, Mr. Bound. That's what he says. How can a man's needs be met, or those of the church, which is even more important? You see, it's not just about a man or woman's needs. It's about the needs of the church. How can the needs of a church or those of a country, he went all the way to a country, how can those needs be met if he does not ask of the Lord? Amen. You gotta ask God. Hallelujah. What you say, Lord? Where are we going today, Lord? What you want me to do today, Lord? You know, it's real. It's real. You know, I think I might have shared with y'all, you know, in the what we call the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Remember that? Well, I always, for years and years, I thought he was just talking about bread. Natural bread. No. But we know that bread is also a word from God. Amen? Give us this day. Give me your daily word for today. Tell me where to go today. What you want to do today? What can I do for you? Amen. And a lot of times, you know, he'll tell us what he's doing for us today, too. That's exciting. Paul's teaching is that prayer is the most important of all activities on earth. He writes, defeat, not victory, lies in making prayer secondary. Making prayer subordinate is to, and he uses the word fetter, and destroy its power. If God, see, there you go. He redeems himself here, y'all. If God and prayer are not put first, see, he redeemed himself. He put God. If God and prayer are not put first, Okay, or put first, I'm sorry, or put first, then victory is assured. Prayer must either reign in life, or I guess we must abdicate, give it up. Which will it be? It's up to you. You know, is it going to reign, or are you just going to give it up? Amen? And again, going back to 1 Timothy 2:1, we talked about supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. All these elements and forms of prayer are to be offered in intercession for men everywhere. Amen? Prayer is offered for things, for all temporal good and for all spiritual good and grace, Mr. Bounds says. Men, now this was really, really important. Men are to be affected by prayer. You're not just praying to be praying. When you pray, you're supposed to expect some changes to take place in the lives of other people as a result of your praying. Amen. Yeah, we're not just praying just to fill up the air. You know, you got to get serious about it. You got to understand what it is that you're doing and how important it is. It's important to you and it's important to God. Amen. He says their benefit, their character, their conduct, and destiny are all involved in answered prayer. Amen. All involved in answered prayer. Our main purpose in this life. Now, if I ask you, what do you think our purpose is in life? In the church. Let's put it, I'm going to narrow it down a little bit. In the church. What is our main purpose? You know, we will come up with all, pardon? Win souls. See that? See, anybody, anything else? Come on. That's a good one. Okay. And it is. That is. But, you know, Mr. Bounds says, our main purpose in this life is to pray for other men. Amen. See, I tell you, you know, we don't agree with him on everything. I mean, you know, he's good, but amen. But if you stop and think about it, it's going to take prayer to win souls. You know what I'm saying? When you're prayed up, yeah, winning souls is important. That's what we're here for. You know, because we go back and you talked about the gospel and, you know, we're talking about the kingdom. But if you're not going to pray, you probably won't go out there and win those souls. Amen. Because then when God speak to you, will you? Oh, yes, sir. Few labors. That's right. That he would labors into his. See, even that take prayer. You're right. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. You helped me. Amen. Okay. He says, our main purpose in this life is to pray for other men. This broadens. And then he says, ennobles or make prayer really important. Paul's teaching states that prayer is essentially a thing. And I don't even like that word thing. He could have said a force. He said thing, so I had to put thing, because when y'all read it, you're going to say, he didn't say that. He said thing. Okay, Paul's teaching states that prayer is essentially a thing of the inner nature. You're talking about the inner man. Amen? The spirit within us prays. The spirit within us prays. 1 Timothy 2:8. Remember we looked at it. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Remember lifting up holy hands? Oh, and this is where he gets into that without wrath. And I told y'all I learned something. He says that wrath, he said that's a term that denotes the natural internal motion of plants and fruits swelling with juice. Amen. That's what he said, because I always thought wrath, it just meant mad, you know, just mad, you know. No, he says is a term that denotes the natural internal motion of plants and fruits that are swelling with juice. Man has in him natural juices that rise also. Amen. They're not good either. You're going to see when you read warmth, heat, all stages of passions and desire, every degree of feeling. Now, when I say that, what comes to your mind? My what? My soul, thank you, man. My soul. Yeah, when you start talking about all of this, all that stuff is in your soul. He says, passions and desires, every degree of feeling. And I have in parentheses emotion/soul. These spontaneously rise when you are provoked. Amen? Yeah, they rise when you are provoked. He says, remember, go back to 1 Timothy 2 and 8, without wrath. Remember, he said, without wrath, guard against and suppress them, those things that rise up, those feelings, those hot feelings, angry feelings, bitter feelings, envious feelings, jealous feelings, you know, all of that, it's swelling up and it can be provoked in all of us, in all of us. He says, guard against and suppress them. Men or man cannot pray with these natural juices, where he says natural feelings rising in him cultivated. Don't entertain them. Amen. Cherished and continued within. Get rid of them. Don't cherish them. Don't cultivate them. And don't continue them. Amen. He says wrath depresses prayer. You can't pray if you've got all of this going on the inside of you. It hinders prayer. It suppresses prayer. He says, when you look at that word without, it means making no use of, having no association with, apart from, aloof from. The natural, unrenewed heart/soul has no part in praying. Amen? Unrenewed. Listen, the natural, unrenewed heart or soul has no part in praying. The essence of prayer is deeper than nature. It goes deeper than that. We cannot pray by nature, not even the kindliest and best nature. Amen? Amen. He says, prayer, talking about our author now, prayer is the true test of character. Prayer is the true test of character. Fidelity to our conditions and trueness to our relatives. He says, our relatives. Oh, my God. Fidelity to our conditions and trueness to our relatives are often indicated by our prayerfulness. So those of us who are having a lot of trouble with our people, we must not be praying for them. We got to pray for them and pray for ourselves. Amen? Pray for them and pray for us too. He says, not to pray in some conditions seems heartless and discordant. You know, meaning just out of character. No, you got to pray. Amen? Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. And then he goes to the Revised Standard Version, talking about our author. And it says to be constant in prayer. Continuing instant, Romans 12:12 says continuing instant in prayer. Let me find it for you right quick. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Amen. And he says in the Revised Standard Version, that says to be constant in prayer. This is Paul's description of prayer. The term means to remain, to be steadfast and faithful without hesitating, to stick to it, to continue with strength to the end. Amen. That's what he means by continuing instant in prayer and being constant in prayer. I like those words. To remain, be steadfast, be faithful without hesitating, stick to it, continue with strength to the end. Amen? I got to read this little sentence here, though, y'all. Mr. Bowen says prayer is an occupation. That's what he said. It's an occupation. It's a job. A lifelong business to be followed with diligence, fervor. I didn't like his word toil either. I just, a lot of things I didn't like tonight. I didn't like that word toil. I don't want to think of prayer as toiling. Amen? Amen, amen. All right, we will go ahead and we will finish this next week. And I can't tell you where we're going to go after that because there is a chapter, Apostles and Prayer or something like that. I've forgotten the exact title. We might go there when we finish this, but I'll see. I'm really, really concerned because, you know, I need to know. I'll talk to the Lord and see what he want me to tell y'all. Amen? Amen, amen. Y'all be blessed.